Follow-up research to the 2016 Wisconsin Poverty Report has found that Milwaukee County still has the highest poverty rate in the state. The poverty rate statewide currently hovers around 11%, but in Wisconsin's most populous county, it's creeping up toward 18%. Our next guest is here to talk about the report, what it means for Milwaukee County and the state as a whole. Tim Smeeting is with us now. He's the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the Robert M. La Follette School of Public Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's also former director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. Tim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, we've talked to you about the statewide poverty report, and it looks like in this new follow-up with Milwaukee County really stands out in the state when it comes to poverty.
Yeah, well, when we did the report, we found there was a lot of good news. There were 29 separate counties in the state that were below average. All the rest were average, but there was one stubbornly pulling everything up, and significantly so, and that was Milwaukee. So we said, let's take a look at Milwaukee. And if you're going to look at Milwaukee and you're going to look on poverty, we need to look at race and ethnicity too. So that's what we did.
And now, before we dig into the details within Milwaukee County, is this something we've been seeing over the years, that Milwaukee County stands out with the highest poverty rates?
Yes, we've seen this for a long time. There have been other areas during the Great Recession where poverty was almost as high, but Milwaukee is consistently long-term high poverty, particularly in the central city, but also in the rest of the county. It's the most segregated county and city in the country. And so we know race has something to do with it. It consistently shows up in the Casey Kids Count. When you find black kids in Milwaukee and you compare them to white kids, the differential between the two is the biggest in the country, or the second biggest, almost every year.
So take us inside Milwaukee County. You were able to break it down in eight regions within the county, and even there. So we were talking at the state level. There's this huge variety in poverty rates. Digging in deeper, when we look at Milwaukee County, there's a lot of variation there too.
Yeah, in Milwaukee, there are 18 census areas which have at least 100,000 people in them, and the samples are big enough to dig inside. So we can look at the variance within the county, and the variance is huge. It goes from, 30 and 40 and higher in the middle to 4 and 5% in the suburbs within the same county. You don't have to go to Waukesha, Ozaukee, Jefferson, within the county.
So let's talk about that, 30 to 40% poverty rates in one region within the city of Milwaukee, it looks like, looking at your maps. And that's huge. That really stands out.
It varies a lot by area and by race, although whites who are in heavily black areas also don't do very well. It reflects the segregation within the city, the spatial segregation. It reflects incarceration. It reflects bad schools, it reflects lack of good jobs, and it reflects, family structure, which is affected by, clearly by imprisonment and lack of jobs and so forth.
Are there areas within Milwaukee where black people in particular have significantly lower poverty rates than that 30 to 40%?
It's in some of the near areas, yes, but it's hard. The poverty rates will go down some, but it's hard to find enough blacks in those areas. In some, we had absolutely none in our sample. But, the example, it's similar to Madison, where people would be stuck out in the north side, moved to Sun Prairie or somewhere. They moved out, but in Milwaukee, they're stuck there. They haven't moved to Brown Deer or Cedarburg or south even to other outlying areas.
So there's racial segregation, as you were mentioning, and economic segregation as well. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, part of the issue is that if you have a low-income group just pushed in one place, there aren't any jobs around. Half of the African-American men in Milwaukee have some sort of a criminal record that makes it much harder to get a job, any kind of job. The good jobs are in the periphery. You need to get out there. If you have children, you need childcare to someone to take care of your kids. So this makes it, and not to mention the violence and the trauma that's there. So this makes it very difficult to lead a normal life and normal economic life. And most people would like to move if they could afford to. So my student, Matt Desmond, wrote a famous book called Evicted. And Matt said, in Central City, Milwaukee, people are paying 40 and 50% of their incomes for rent. But The Wisconsin Policy Forum just did a lovely report. It's not because rents are high or homes aren't available. It's because incomes are so darn low. So I'll give you one number. This is a great guess number. Suppose I ask you the following. Within Milwaukee County, what fraction of black families with children were living with incomes above twice the poverty line, meaning above $40,000 or $50,000? The answer is 1 in 8 only. So if you pick a black kid out, there's a 7/8 chance that they're either poor or near poor, and they're not doing well in school, they're stuck in those central city schools, they don't have alternatives, the families can't move out to avoid the violence and to improve the schools and things for their kids. So that's a problem. If we're going to solve poverty in the state of Wisconsin, we have to pay attention to Milwaukee.
Talking to Tim Smeeting from UW-Madison, looking at a new report on poverty rates in Milwaukee County in particular. Tim, I'm hearing a whole bunch of kind of chicken or egg type questions. There aren't jobs, but job creators are going to want to move into this area if they don't feel like it's safe, if there's not opportunities there to sell things to people. That's just one of the where do you start type questions.
Well, you need to get the people to the jobs, and the jobs are on the periphery, or even the jobs are in the infrastructure we're building up for Foxconn and everything. Those jobs do not require high levels of education. Those are the sorts of jobs that if you're really desperate and needed someone for a job, an employer could take someone, a formerly incarcerated person, and give them a chance working in a construction crew. I don't see why that doesn't happen, but you know, this has been terrible because the blame game has been going on in Milwaukee for a long, long time. The Democrats know better than the Republicans. The mayor has been sitting on this for as long as he's been mayor and before that. And somebody needs to get off the dime and make some changes. There has to be some policy. Employers, if they're hungry for people and they want to give people a second chance, the way they are doing here in Madison, you need to go offer jobs to people. Give them a chance. The state could subsidize them, give them a few dollars off an hour for training purposes, and give them a bonus if they're still working in 6 months or something. That would be one nice way of injecting some money into downtown. Of course, you'd have to get them out to the jobs. But employer Uber, there's ways of getting people to the jobs if employers are as hungry as some people think they are.
Is there a need for subsidies for transportation like that, as you say, to get from, say, the central city
sure.
to jobs on the periphery?
Look in this town. You see all those red vans driving around? Those are all those state vans. When I was running the Poverty Institute, I had 6 people here for me who were in Janesville and Beloit to get in a van every afternoon and go back. Why can't there be a van somewhere in downtown Milwaukee that picks guys up at 6:30 or 7 in the morning, takes them out to the job, and brings them back after? That's a low cost if that's what an employer wants and if they need that labor. And, I mean, this is all mixed up in race, too, in racial politics. We know you can find white, formerly incarcerated men on the front page of the New York Times walking out of prison into a job in Stoughton Trailer. But I can't get any data from the state on how well we're doing with African-American men on that same, and keeping them from going back to prison and getting them jobs.
Is this not a priority because this is a primarily black area we're talking about?
It could be. I mean, a lot of people have a reaction to black men that they're scary. They've been in prison, which a lot of them have. Some who are violent should be in prison. They shouldn't be out. But young first-time offenders, if we could divert them to something other than prison, if we could start get them involved in jobs, if we could give them an opportunity. And the same thing now, next fall with single parents, they're going to say if you're so low income, you're still receiving our food share program, you have to go out and work 30 hours a week. Well, where's the child care? Where's the transportation? Who's going to give them a chance? Is there a transition job you can go to? So one of our former students, Johnny Hunter here, who runs one of the local food cooperatives, Underground Butcher, he and his colleagues set up a bakery, Sunshine Bakery, which gives people a chance to learn how to be bakers and then places them in jobs in the restaurant industry and the bakery industry in this town. We need more and more things like that. We really need to try. And the same, obviously, for mothers with kids who also need the help directly themselves.
Now, the way you measure poverty is a little different than the way the feds do. You include the impact of public assistance programs in that. And you just mentioned the possibility of work requirements for public assistance. Are there ways we could do public assistance better. That'll create better incentives in, say, that 30% to 40% poverty rate area.
Sure. First of all, we could have a higher minimum wage, not $15, but not $7.25. We could go to $9 or $10, which is what we've done. That gives you an incentive to go out to work because you'll get more.
Okay, wait, I'm going to stop you at minimum wage. If I don't want to start a business in central Milwaukee paying the current minimum wage, why do I want to start one paying a higher minimum wage?
No, I don't want you to start a business there. I want to get the people out to the businesses. Okay. I mean, there are ways of trying to stimulate business in Milwaukee, but business in those areas of Milwaukee is expensive. I've been to those areas. They have to rent. They have rent-a guards at the front and the back door, and people are afraid to go there at night and things like that. So if we can't fix that area directly, the trick is to give people enough economic wherewithal that they can move out of there. So expanded low-income housing would help too, but that's expensive more generally.
All right, but how about once people start getting money, is there a way we can make the community something that they don't want to move out of once they can afford to?
That would be wonderful. That takes leadership within the community. It takes policing the streets. It would take continuing to reduce crime. It's just very difficult. Reducing unplanned pregnancies would be good so that young women and men who did not want to have a baby didn't have an accident and have a baby, which if you don't have your education or a job, that creates, you know, a really steep row to hoe. If you haven't finished your education, you don't have a job, you don't have a partner, and you don't have a plan, it's hard to raise that kid in a non-poverty situation, and it hurts the employment situation of the mother and the father may end up in jail. So one of the things that we do know that works, though, is allowing people who are scared or afraid to move out of the city into a different area. And if we could do more of that, that would help. And one way to do it is if people could earn some money and get their earned income tax credit, when they get it once a month, you have first and last month's rent, that could allow you to move, okay? If we had a child allowance in our country like other, if we took the child tax credit of $2,000 a year, which I get and most other parents do, and paid it monthly and made it refundable, that'd be $170 a month check that per kid that every mother would get. And they could use that to help enhance the education of their children, maybe find a private school, a Catholic school, some other school, but also to not worry about whether you have to choose between the car or the rent and so forth every month.
Talking to Tim Smeeting, professor of public affairs and economics at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison, with us to talk about a recent report looking at poverty rates in Milwaukee County. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You've heard some of Tim's suggestions. What do you think? What questions do you have about poverty in Milwaukee County? What should local leaders, the state government, do to try to tackle this problem? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Especially like to hear from you if you are in Milwaukee County seeing this firsthand. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation about poverty rates in Milwaukee County. Tim Smeeting is with us, professor at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. This new report shows significantly higher levels of poverty in Milwaukee County, especially in some areas in the city of Milwaukee. What do you think? What should local government, the state, do to alleviate poverty around Wisconsin, especially in Milwaukee County? Are you living there right now? What do you see around you? Any signs of hope? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We heard from Ralph in Milwaukee, who asks what the state, Tim, has done with shared revenue in the past decade. So there's that kind of complicated formula when it comes to funding local governments. What do you see from the state in funding what's going on in Milwaukee County?
Well, I'm not too familiar with that, I must say. But as far as I know, I mean, that isn't really going to help. And then it's a county priority. Where do you put those shared revenues? And how much of those shared revenues actually go into areas which need it? And what do you do there? And I'm honest with you, I don't know. But there hasn't been much effect, whatever they've been doing. They have to do something different. That's the point.
Let's go to our callers now. Ryan is with us in Glendale in Milwaukee County. Ryan, hello.
Hello. Hey, so I have a great discussion, by the way. I have a question. I have a friend who is from a nearby to me, because as you say, or as you mentioned, this county is very segregated. And I have a friend nearby to me who I've been kind of helping out, and he got a job, 1550, out in Heartland. They are transporting him out there. But, you know, after a couple weeks, he got really discouraged because the drive was really long, and then a family member spent a lot of his, well, all of his income at the casino, and it was really discouraging for him, and he quit his job after 2 weeks. I'm just wondering, like, are almost everybody who gets these opportunities ready to go and get this work, and what's gonna sustain the population to be able to really have that encouragement to just keep going and get over some of those humps? You know what I mean?
Ryan, thanks a lot. So some obstacles, even when you can find a job, Tim, can you talk about that generally?
Thanks, Ryan. You're right. It isn't just the transportation. It's sticking with it. It's being able to manage your money when you've got it and not let a family member gamble it away, obviously. It is a little bit longer. You know, it might take an hour to get out there or back. But, you know, for something that pays $15.50 an hour, that's full-time, that's $30,000 a year. That's better than you had before. And maybe you can find a job closer. Maybe you can raise enough money that you can move out closer there and still in a reasonable place. But we have to work on these things, Ryan. You're totally right. And for guys who've been in prison, the problems are even worse. So it needs some support services and social help too. But God bless you for helping your friend, because, you know, if you can't live there, you have to go where the jobs are.
Ryan, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Andrea in Green Bay. Andrea, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to call in and talk about how I grew up in Milwaukee and recently moved from there to the Green Bay area for a new job, and just how there aren't any good jobs down there. There's a lot of low-paying service jobs, and I graduated from college in the middle of the recession, and just couldn't find anything. And it took me, I'm 29 now, but finally found my first real job I can support myself on, but had to leave the area to do so.
Do you regret having to leave the area, Andrea, to do that?
In some ways I do. I mean, all my family is down there, but crime was just getting worse, and housing was just getting terribly expensive. I was lucky that I could live with my parents. Was the only way I could make it. You know, I found some temp work, some part-time work, but nothing that I could support myself on.
Andrea, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there. I heard she's not alone in this story. I know, Tim. That housing, again. So you'd think with high poverty, you'd have a lot of lower income housing, but as you were saying earlier, and Andrea is saying, still not necessarily stuff you can afford on a low income.
It may be, and it may not have been, you know, for someone like Andrea, it may not have been safe either. I mean, that's a concern. But according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum, there are places that are available and places you can rent. But you do need a job to do that. And if you couldn't find anything in the suburbs, Green Bay is bouncing right along. But you did have to leave your family, Andrea. But part of the problem is there aren't enough people like you who can move or are willing to move. Even you're a college graduate. Imagine if you're trying to do this with, you know, nothing but a high school degree, or maybe not even that, and that, you know, you needed training for skills, you needed an employer to give you an apprenticeship and so forth. It wasn't easy when you moved, but now supposedly unemployment is really low all over the state. The governor is going to push single parents to work 30 hours a week because we need more workers in Wisconsin and so forth and so on. Why don't employers get involved and say, this is what we need, and say we're willing, you know, help us find the right people and we'll give them a job?
Andrea, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Rich in Madison. Rich, hello.
Hi. I had a question and maybe a suggestion of ways we could rally the community, in particular community leaders, to kind of help sponsor and train the youth to kind of go down a better path and maybe get them towards jobs, and then maybe start like a community garden where they can then grow produce and then sell it in a farmer's market, or even start their own farmer's market.
Gotcha. Rich, I'm going to jump in because we're low on time. I've talked to people who are doing these things, Tim, exactly the stuff Rich is talking about, and I've heard from a lot of them, we're doing our piece of the puzzle, they're doing their piece. There's no wider coordination of all these efforts to bring them all together.
It is difficult, and social service agencies are playing the biggest role. Or people, like I said, Johnny Hunter and Underground Butcher, who they went up and they set up a bakery and they trained people in the bakery. I support them. I give them money because it's what you need. And some people, they haven't worked before very much. They need job-ready skills and things like that. And farming is a great idea, but that's seasonal. And in the winter, you can bake all the time. But Rich, I think in general, you got the right idea. It takes a village, and it will take a village. And in Madison, poverty isn't so concentrated. You're closer to jobs, and there are more opportunities. I mean, the place is booming. So I think it would, keeping going with what we're doing and hoping to make a dent at some point would be a great thing. But thanks for your call.
Rich, yeah, thanks for calling in. And Tim, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you again, Rob.
That's Tim Smeeting. He's the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. Been talking to us about poverty rates in Milwaukee County, a new report on that, and some of the steps the state, the communities can take to alleviate poverty. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a Trump administration report says global temperatures will increase by 7 degrees by the end of the century, but advises against particular actions to fight that increase. We'll dig into the issue and the potential impact of policy changes. We'll take a tour of mail order houses in Wisconsin and beyond and look at the rise and fall of these homes that were delivered by train, some assembly required. And how do you make the biggest decisions in your life? The author of the new book, Farsighted, gives us some strategies for choosing a new path at the next turning point in our lives. That's tomorrow on Central Time.